Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Brought to you proudly by Car Friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. Got Randy behind the mic, James behind the mic. We're here, ready to go.
Looking forward to it, as usual.
It's going to be a good show, Randy. It's going to be a good show. We are looking forward to being joined by head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckman, going
to
join us.
Be good to talk to him as well.
Yeah, looking forward to catching up with you. I love talking hockey in the summer. I really, really do, man. Because we're talking scouting, we're talking hope, a lot of fun stuff to get to. We have to talk about the Jonathan Taylor, Jim Irsay situation. I want to get into that. We've got Rafters news. Randy's got great information for us about the Ramblers and the Assumption Royals. We'll get to all of that. Looking forward to it. How was your weekend, Randy?
Went quickly, like usual. It's hard to believe that we're turning the calendar to August. Yesterday was my grandson's birthday and would have been my mother's birthday. Tomorrow's the wife's birthday. So kind of a busy time of year for the Paul family, right?
Yeah, very, very. It'd be good to hear. Very good to hear. We're also going to give you a chance throughout the show today to win a pair of Rafters tickets. We've got four of them just burning the hole in our pocket. Remember that phrase, burning a hole in your pocket? I don't think anybody says that anymore. I think I'm the last person to say that phrase.
And I think we're down to about 2 weeks of Rafter season. Isn't that insane as well?
Yes, it is very crazy. We'll get into that in a moment. Hey, we usually start with Rafters, but we're going to actually kind of wrap up a little bit towards Rafters because I want to lead into the Rafters doubleheader today.
That's right.
We're going to be done at 3:45, so that means you got until then to get your calls in, everybody. 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Plenty to talk about in sports. You remember when it used to be a dead time of year? Like, nobody wanted to talk sports this time of year? Those days are long gone.
Not anymore.
Long gone, man. It's not a worry anymore. As long as we're waiting for Coach to join us, let's go ahead and go a little different direction here, Randy, because I want to get into the Jim Irsay, Jonathan Taylor situation.
Okay.
Let's journalistically put this out there right away. And by that, I mean all of us. Nobody's ever said a bad thing about Jonathan Taylor.
No.
Like, it's been very interesting to me to see a lot of the UW family coming to talk about him and not coming to his aid because he doesn't need that or anything. I don't think anybody's looking at Jonathan Taylor with a cross eye here or anything. It's more so like, this is a good kid. Like, this is one of the best kids we've ever had at our university. You know, our university's been around a while. He's one of the best running backs we've ever had. And that's saying something at the University of Wisconsin. So I want to get into that, but we got to take some calls first. Let's go ahead and get this going. Good morning. You're on the show. Good afternoon.
Well, I like where you're going with the Jonathan Taylor comment there, James. But nobody ever said anything bad about Jim Irsay either.
Did you want to do a quick Google search on Jim Irsay? Because there's been plenty said about Jim Irsay.
I get called worse by the time he wakes up in the morning.
I relate to that. I can relate to that.
I don't want to change the topic because I do like the direction you're going, but I do have some baseball stats I was drumming up just for Randy and James.
Yes. Sounds we need good. Some sounder music for this, yes.
Okay. Now, the number one home run hitters in the 1980s, Eddie Murray, Dale Murphy, Andre Dawson, Dwight Evans, Jim Rice, Daryl Evans, Dave Winfield, Reggie Jackson, Mark McGwire, and Mike Schmidt.
Wow.
Guess who had the most home runs?
Was it? Yeah, I want to say Reggie, but it was. I don't know. I think it was Reggie. Who was it?
It's Mike Schmidt.
It was Mike Schmidt. Wow.
Third baseman with the Phillies, right?
I'm telling you.
And here's my second fun fact of the day. That was six less home runs than Tony Gwynn hit in his entire career.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's fascinating. Not as shocking, but fascinating.
And just a few less than the Braves hit this home run against the Brewers.
Right.
Yeah, I know. That was quite the blowout. That was, I don't want to say embarrassing because I'm not on the team, but that was hard to watch.
11 home runs they gave up this weekend. They just kept pitching to guys that were hitting them, too. It was just that, but mind-blowing.
That stat was worth it just to hear all those names together.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God. That was just, I just was bathing in nostalgia right there.
It's an 80s all-star team right there.
Yeah.
I was talking to Tyler earlier over at the Raptors. I know you want to wrap it up with the Raptors, but I really hope I honestly think they have a chance to go undefeated in August.
I could see it. They got a nice schedule. I like where you're going because yeah. that's I wanted to wrap on that schedule. That's great. No, that's okay to talk about that because I want to get to that anyway. And look, I will be the first to admit that I don't always have the greatest perspective on these things. I tend to be a little bit of a homer, if you've ever listened to me before. But I'll say that even if you're just looking at it statistically, schedule-wise, this lines up almost perfect for them. When you look at the Great Lakes West Division and who's at the top and who we got to take down, and then you look at who is lining up in our schedule, you can't ask for much more if you're the Rafters. I mean, it's in your hands. Isn't that what you want?
It's kind of like the Brewers at the end of the season. It's kind of a create your own ending kind of thing.
Yes, choose your own adventure. Yeah.
There you go. That's okay. That's probably a better way to think about it.
appreciate you, bro. Thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, you have a good afternoon,
guys. You too. We'll see you at Winterfield. Great call. 424-2600. Keep them coming, everybody.
Yeah, you know, after these couple of games with Wausau, including the doubleheader today, then they got Fond du Lac a couple of times, more Wausau, Lakeshore, Madison, and then Green Bay, and they just split with Green Bay this weekend.
All teams that we are ahead of us, and outside of Wausau, all teams that are ahead of us in the division, and we're only a game and a half away.
Yeah, tied with Green Bay right now, 1.5 back, yep.
So it, to me, and I hear this from athletes all the time, and I would think this is the case, your future is in your hands.
That's fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's so much fun. The thing that would bother me is sitting back and having to have other teams lose and other teams win. That would frustrate me. It frustrates me that I don't get to talk hockey more often, so that's why any chance I get, I bring on one of the best voices that we have here at WFHR when it comes to hockey, GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Mr. Paul Peckman. Sir, good morning. Good afternoon, I mean.
Good afternoon. How you doing, James?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I am back
in the saddle.
I imagine. I appreciate you joining us. I want to talk a little scouting with you to find out how things have been going for you. But I want to ask right away, Paul, have you been able to enjoy your summer? Like, have you hang out with the family? You relaxing a little bit at all?
Yeah. Tell you the truth. Actually, I just got back from Florida yesterday. I was down there visiting my family and my granddaughter, my father, and my brother, and my two older kids. And so I spent a couple of days down there, and it was good to catch up before, you know, we make it back up to Wisconsin here in a couple of weeks. So, you know, the last couple of weeks have been actually kind of relaxing a little bit here because we are, you know, we seem to have a roster that's coming together very nicely, so I'm excited about that. And, a couple of beers and just sit back and relax.
Good to hear. Very good to hear, Coach. You've earned it. As far as recent signings, anything of note there?
I don't know how much you guys have seen on the social media. But
I'm watching all of it. I'll be honest with you. I'm glued to it, so I catch all of it, yeah.
I have, other than what's posted right there, I actually have a couple conversations, one coming up in about an hour with a defenseman from Edmonton, Alberta, and then two forwards from one from Quebec, and another guy that's very good that was at the Johnstown's camp that I'm excited to talk to. So there's a couple good prospects here that I expect, you know, we have a good shot at getting here, and we only strengthen what we have, and I'm excited. I'm excited to get going.
This I pay attention to college hockey a bit, but there's also a lot of other divisions out there that I'm not able to keep up on as good as you and my dad. But when it came to this kid Griffin Joy, I've heard that name. I think if you pay attention to college hockey, you know a little bit about him. Nice signing right there.
Griffin Joy actually played for us. He played for us last year.
Yeah.
He's going to Oklahoma.
Yeah. I'm excited for him to go. I'm sorry. I'm excited for him to sign with Oklahoma. I think that's a fun thing for him to be moving on like that, to have an opportunity like that. And just a quick note to everybody, Oklahoma has hockey. You know, Oklahoma's got a nice, actually got some nice teams out that way.
They do. It's a strong program. I was actually just updating all my college coaches' information and that kind of stuff. So they look like they're going to be loaded again this year. So
yeah.
I'm excited for him and excited to see what he does and hear about his progress.
Made some additions to the coaching staff recently.
We did. We did. Two young guys coming in from Minnesota, so that's exciting, and it'll be very helpful for me. Harrison is a kid who just graduated from University of Minnesota. He's got some playing background and got drafted in the NA while he was playing juniors in North Iowa, and he actually hurt his back badly during off-season workouts and had to have back surgery and didn't play anymore. So he's getting back into the game. He's a big kid. He's a defenseman by trade. So he's going to help me on the back end. And as you've seen, we have some big defensemen coming in. So I think it'll be right up his alley, and it'll be good to for him to get going at this level. And the other guy is Travis Marsh, who's also from the Twin Cities, who's coached some juniors in Minnesota and some high school Minnesota hockey. So he's going to help me on the offensive side of things and just, a couple more voices in there and help me, continue to get this thing going in the right direction to where we want to go, and which is ultimately getting to nationals. That's the goal here. I'm excited to work with these guys.
This is going to be a bit of a reach, Coach, but just hang with me, you and Randy. Just hang with me for a minute here, because I grew up in a real hockey family. On my mom's side, a very political family. My grandfather was really important. I understood politics. One of the first stories he told me was about Abraham Lincoln first getting into office. And the first thing Lincoln did was fill his cabinet with people that ran against him, because he understood that he didn't know everything. He understood how important that was to have that in that position. In your position, when you're bringing these new guys in, how important is it to have a like-mindedness, but also have people that are willing to tell you, hey, Coach, I'm not sure about this, or I'm not sure about that?
Absolutely. I'm all for team, right? And that goes for our coaching staffs to act as one. I'm open, and I'm always listening. I will always take advice. Ultimately, I make the final decision, right? But if somebody sees something that I don't, then that's why they're there, right? To assist the coach and for them to learn. And then as they're learning, then obviously they're becoming more skilled at their craft, and which is only going to make us stronger. So. That is absolutely true, and I'm looking for guys that I can place in these positions to help me with my defense, help me with my offense as I'm walking up and down the bench and making sure that we got the right guys out in the right situations for us to be successful, for the players to be successful, and ultimately the coaches as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
For them to make decisions that hopefully go in our favor. That's a feather in their cap, and that's my job is not just to help these players develop and move on. It's also my coaches. I've done that before and over the years, and that's just as rewarding as to watch my assistant coaches move on to higher levels.
Speaking with GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckman. And Coach, the USPHL has announced their All-Stars for the Midwest Division, and we got a couple of River Kings in there. That is nice to see.
Yeah. We had some heavy hitters, I think, in Will and Tobias and Kyle. I thought they were very well. And as you saw, Kyle has made the 30-man roster, the Johnstown Tomahawks in the North American Hockey League. So that's exciting. Tobias is just about ready to sign his pro contract in Norway. And Will is already committed to go to Illinois State, so we're expecting him to do big things over there. It's a great start for us, and I'm very proud of those guys for everything that they accomplished and helping us get to continue to help us get to where we want to go.
You know, when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to scouting, bringing in these kids at a level like this, I think a little bit of a John Calipari, who at Kentucky, he's able to bring in these big names. And Calipari may not win a title every year, but man, he brings in these big name kids, these big name recruits, because in part, not just the university has the opportunity to win, but because they do have such a good resume of sending kids to the next level. That seems like an important part of your of not just being a coach, but obviously being a GM for you. Yeah, we want to win, but that equally as important as helping these kids succeed and get to the next level.
No question. That's what this is all about, James. It's mm-hmm. it's about, you know, I've said it since day one, and this has always been my mentality, is I really don't care about championship banners as much as getting my players to where they want to go. And to the higher levels, like Kyle, like Tobias and Ewan Hill, and then the guys getting to college, like Will Chicarico and Matty LaJoy and the other guys. So that's the goal here. And at the end of the day, when I'm getting phone calls 10, 15 years later from my players that I've helped get to a good college, get a good degree, getting married, having kids, and keeping me all informed on how they're doing, then I've done my job. You know, don't get me wrong. I want to go to the Nationals. I want to win a championship just as bad as everybody else. We're in this game. We're competitors by nature. But at the end of the day, my kids' success is our success. And that's the way I look at it.
Just 47 days, 2 hours, 38 minutes, and 40 seconds until the annual blue-white game, September 16th. I found that out thanks to, of course, RiverKings.com. Encourage you to bookmark that page and get your get there, find all your River Kings information. I cannot wait, Coach. I'm just going to hibernate until then. I'll just, you know, wake up around then, and I'll be ready to go. Thank you so much for joining us, Coach. We appreciate you.
You got it. We'll see you soon.
We'll talk soon. Thank you. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll get our break out of the way, Randy, and then we'll come back and we'll just go right to when Joey and the gang are going to take over for the Rifters, who are got their doubleheader today, an Ernie Banks special coming up today. For now, touch on Melissa's news. We'll come back with more Playmakers brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at in Wisconsin Rapids at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Randy and James here with you. Again, a big thank you to Coach Paul Peckman for joining us and the calls we've already gotten, 424-2600. Remember, we're wrapping up in 20 minutes, everybody, because we got to get out of the way for the Rafters. Rafters got a doubleheader today. Let's play two. 3:50, they kick in with our pregame. That'll be a 9-inning game against Wausau. That'll be followed by a 7-inning game, probably about a half an hour after the first game wraps up. Catch all your Rafter baseball right here at WFHR all season long. We speaking of local coverage, Randy's got some local stuff for us.
Yeah, we got that doubleheader because of the rain suspension the other night, so yes. That'll be a lot of fun here tonight. But on the other hand, we also had a lot of fun when it comes to some local things back on the U-17 state tournament that was held right here in Wisconsin Rapids. The Wisconsin Rapids Ramblers are state champions.
Woo!
How fun is that to say?
Yeah!
Right? Wow! But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's take a back look a little bit here from earlier last week. On Monday evening, the Ramblers suffered their first loss of the tournament as Eau Claire put up a four spot, bottom of the sixth to hold off Rapids 8-7. Then on Tuesday, the Ramblers would face Middleton, a team they'd beaten earlier in the tournament, so it would be a state championship for the winners, and what a game it was. Mm. Brett Fox drove in the game winner in the bottom of the seventh. Josh Dakarski tossed a no-hitter as the Ramblers win the state championship by the final 3-2. What a way to go out.
Was it Drysdale that threw a no-hitter in the World Series?
Yeah.
I think it was. Yeah, somebody like that. Just very, very, that's awesome.
And then we had that perfect game way back, oh my gosh, in the 50s, right?
Yes, yeah.
Dakarski, Carson Orheim were named co-MVPs of the tournament. Gage Honeyager was voted best hitter, and Landon Freeman and Nolan Hartman were named to the all-tournament team as well. So congratulations to Coach Jack Smalley, his staff, and the team who finished the season with a record of 26-8. So
nice.
Both them and the Rangers had outstanding seasons this summer. Yeah. More awards. Three Lady Royals were named to the small school's all-state team for softball. And for the second year in a row now, senior Ava Schill was a first-team selection. And by the way, she was also Marywood Conference South Conference Player of the Year for the third straight year. Also for the second consecutive season, senior Kristen Casey was named to the second team, and sophomore Anna Schooley landed on the honorable mention list as well. So lots of awards and championships going on this last week here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Thank you for that, Randy. And a shout out to the Ramblers. We don't get to talk about them enough and love to get more, involved with them as we go forward here and everything, getting them on. We got plenty of room here to have Rafters and Ramblers, talk. We could easily do that. If we can fit as much as we do in an hour, we can fit that in.
And you know what's crazy is, you're thinking, well, finally the high school sports season has wrapped up, and I think football starts in about 3 weeks.
Yeah,
maybe two.
It's right around.
Might be 2 weeks from Thursday already.
Yeah, you're right.
It's crazy.
Right.
I think Lincoln's on the road at River Falls already, and I think it's the 13th. Oh, my goodness.
Again, shout out to the Royals. And Randy, as long as you're touching on football, I'm going to use that as a segue to go right back to the Jonathan Taylor conversation. Real quick, though, Don Larson hurled a perfect game against the Dodgers, Game 5, 1956. Roy Halladay had two postseason no-hitters. There have been two. Roy Halladay had one of them, and Larson with the other.
Was Roy Halladay, was he with who?
Philly.
Toronto?
Philly, I believe. You could be right. I could have been. I think he did have a stint with Toronto. You're right.
So
you're right. I always remember him as a Philly, but okay. I think you might be right about that. You can correct us, 424-2600.
Sure, somebody out there knows.
You guys got a search engine, too. You can look it up. So let's catch everybody up in case you don't know what's going on with Jonathan Taylor right now. First off, running backs, mamas, don't let your kids grow up to be running backs because they just have no love for running backs in the NFL anymore. When it comes to that situation with him, Jonathan Taylor quietly requested a trade. Did not want this to be a public thing. Wanted it to be behind the scenes as much as possible. Jim Irsay doesn't do anything quiet. Jim Irsay, which I'm not going to go shredding the guy. You're a search engine away from seeing all the things that Jim Irsay has done in his life and to lead him to this situation. I have nothing. I don't hate Jim Irsay. I think that there's a big line in the sand with bad owners and all that compared to guys who can't get out of their own way. Jim Irsay let go of Peyton Manning. Couldn't make that work. Andrew Luck retires early because they could not surround him with enough things. There are very few former players that want anything to do with that organization because of Jim Irsay. This is an opinion, everybody. This is all stuff that I'm reading from Edgerrin James. I'm reading from former players. Guys wanting to retire rather than play for that franchise because he is the owner. So Jonathan Taylor requests a trade because they cannot work something out contract-wise for him to get paid the money he deserves. You can't question he's the best offensive talent they have on that team. You can make the argument he's the best player on that team, offense or defense.
Sure.
He has been nothing but a good kid and a good player and been a stand-up in that community. So he does this. Jim Irsay comes out and all of a sudden has some moment where he's Confucius and starts talking about how the NFL will live on long after him and Jonathan Taylor are gone and what is life and all these things because he's Jim Irsay. This is that kind of guy. And that's one thing. That's not a big deal to me because that's just Jim Irsay being Jim Irsay. But then it comes out that they are trying to get an exemption to put Jonathan Taylor on the PUP list and not pay him because of back problems that he had reported. Jonathan Taylor goes on Twitter yesterday, like, my back's fine, man. I'm perfectly healthy. I don't know what they're talking about. To be fair, he had a procedure done about 5-6 months ago, and they do say that it was a back procedure, and they do say it takes a couple weeks to heal. But that was like 2-3 months ago. He's reported to camp since and had a checkout and was perfectly fine. There was a little concern about his ankle, but nothing to put him on the PUP list. So immediately I'm thinking, well, somebody's losing some money in draft picks. Like when the dust settles on this story, Jonathan Taylor is probably not going to be a Colt. So they're going to lose their best offensive weapon when they're bringing in a young quarterback who, out of all the quarterbacks being brought in, probably needs the most seasoning. You're not just going to trade him for what you're not going to get pennies on the dollar. You're going to get pennies on the dollar on this, on Jonathan Taylor, and you're going to lose some stuff. I almost said the wrong word there because it's just so like, what are you doing? Get out. Why do you hire? I never understand this about the Jerry Joneses, the guys like this. You got all that money And I got to think that at some point or another, you got some brain cells up there that have done some right things here, told you to say yes at the right time to get you in this position to own an NFL franchise. What are you doing? You hired people to do a job, right? Let them do their job. Like, all the smart people I see that do have money, the Warren Buffetts, the people like this, they got no problem doing that. They got no problem. I hired this guy to be this job. He's going to do his job. I'm getting out of the way. I understand that I don't know everything, but these people that think that just because they have money or a little bit of power, that they know something or they know more than the guy that they hired to do the job. It is ridiculous to me what's going on there. And it's happening to one of the best kids in the NFL. That's one of the more mind-bending things to me. Let's go ahead and see what you got to say. Hear what you got to say. Good morning. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Well, I finally remembered that you guys were on at 3 o'clock.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Now,
I'm going to have to start setting my alarm clock, I think, at 3 o'clock on Monday. And for now, the thing is, James, just take a deep breath.
Yes.
Just relax.
Yes.
But I think, you know, the NFL does all this stuff for the rookies coming in. They're making them go through all these seminars or training and how to, you know, the financing end of it. I think they need to go and put these owners in a class on how to keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Is basically what it comes down to.
Yeah,
you hire a GM to take care of these issues, and the GM will come to you and say, okay, not happy, but let's do what we can. I'll take care of it. You just tell me how far we can go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the NFL owners, and you know, it's just a handful, because all the other ones, they've kind of, you know, Arts in Atlanta.
Yeah.
He just makes me, I mean, he's on the field at the end of the game, but they're not stuck in a microphone.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, who owns the Arizona Cardinals. I don't know who owns, like, there's a lot of franchises. I agree with you. Yeah.
Bill Bidwell, maybe?
Yeah. There's plenty of franchises that are not household names, owners. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, they're going to end up turning into, Ursay's going to end up saying something wrong one of these times because he doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to end up being the same situation they had in Washington.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's like, come on, you know. I mean, but, you know, you talk about the running back, you know, now I'm kind of my soapbox a little bit here. But the running backs, you know, they, besides the offensive linemen, they get beat up pretty good.
Yeah.
And for these NFL teams, and you almost have to put the onus on the NFL the way they structure the rules now. It's making it a passing league. These guys get the you-know-what out of them.
Yep.
And it just, you know, Ted Thompson many years ago said that he didn't really value the middle linebacker.
Mm.
You know.
I think that it's time for the NFL to step into this. I don't know what the NFL Players Association is doing. I don't know. I don't know what those guys are getting paid for if they're not approaching. I haven't heard them say one word about this situation. I think it's time for the NFL, if anything, if they're not going to, the NFL to step in. For one, the positive PR you would get is, you know, there's no price tag you can put on that. But it's also, you're going to start growing up, having kids growing up, not only not wanting to play running back, they'd rather play power forward than play the RB position. You've already seen that in high schools all across America. Kids no longer are like, wait a minute, I can average 13 points in the NBA and make $20 million a year. Like, I think I'm going that way. I think I'm going, especially if they're going to keep mistreating this position that I am lined up to play.
Well, just think about it. It's interesting. You can hit 215 in the major leagues and make millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And again, to your point with the running back, I think the average length of a career of a running back is about 4 years. So, you know, when they get to 28, 29, they're already saying, well, you know, their legs are going to go and they're done. When in here, you're going to have Aaron Rodgers turning 40 and Tom Brady in his 40s, and they're still playing quarterback. So you are at ground level, and you watch the way those guys get smacked and how they fly sideways. It's amazing they can make it 4 years.
Well, if you look at the linemen, though, too, linemen aren't lasting that long
either.
No. Well, they get beat up on their legs all the time, don't they?
I think that it's a very similar thing to what we deal with radio here and almost anything, really, when it comes down to it, especially when it comes to entertainment mediums. There is no blanket approach. You can't just say, well, this will work for all radio stations in the whole Midwest. No. People listen to different things in different parts of the state. People like different things in different parts of the state. It's the same way with these NFL contracts for players. A contract for a QB is going to be different than for a running back, and the standards should be different. There should be a higher threshold, lower ceiling for running backs than it should be for other positions. I don't think that's asking a lot. And it's not that we're not talking rocket science here. They've done it before with other things.
And I think Jonathan Taylor had maybe 1,800 yards rushing a year or two ago, so you're right. Well, not only is he one of the best players, probably the best player for the Colts, but one of the best running backs in the NFL.
You think about the...
Yeah, I don't get it.
You think about, like, look at, like, a Jonathan Taylor and Ezekiel Elliott. These guys, how many... they both came into the NFL with well over 1,000 carries in their collegiate careers. They already had the wear and tear, and they're going in there, and everything in the NFL, everything in sports... is about the second contract. Everything is about that. They can talk every day about winning a Super Bowl, a World Series, or anything like that. Every player is looking for the second contract. If you're a running back, you're lucky to even look at that thing, to even see it in the the distance.
Because like we said, 4 years for the average length of a career for a running back, and that's what? Their rookie contract is what? Three, 4 years. So
when you got franchise tags and things like that nowadays, you may never even see that second contract.
Right.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that one, James. You know, it's sickening that we have, you know, this is getting such a bad rap for the NFL.
And
if you think about it, you know, how you were saying that kids aren't going to get to the point where they're just going to, play basketball and things like that. I mean, look at baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
The interest in baseball is gone. I mean, and now, you know, with what they're doing with the NFL or the football with the concussions and everything, I mean, it's going to end up almost down to it that you're going to have a professional flag football team is what it's going to end up being.
I don't disagree with you. We got about 5 minutes left before we go. Since you mentioned disgusting, I want to know how people feel about Aaron Rodgers taking a $35 million pay cut in New York and couldn't do it in Green Bay. Like, what are you doing, man? What? It almost felt like petty. I know he's doing it to try to sign, a Cook or something like that. But it just felt so like tacky, like even to me. And I've never said that about a player giving up money. Only he could do something like that. I'm like, oh man, like really?
Well,
like,
even over the weekend, with everything that was going on with Nathaniel Hackett and Sean Payton, and then he goes that. You know, keep your coach out of your mouth. Coach out of your mouth. Just keep a microphone away from him from now
on.
Yes. That's another thing. It's just...
Him and every NFL owner. Like, they keep the mics away. No more. No more asking them questions or anything.
Isn't it a joy being a Packer fan with no owner?
You think about it, I mean... Maybe more teams should look at it that way.
I agree. 1,000%. I've said this my whole life, that I think every sports franchise should be like the Green Bay Packers franchise. If you want that team to leave, then it's up to – then the city can decide that. Then the city can decide that Baltimore can leave and go to – or, Indy can leave to go to Baltimore or vice versa, all that stuff and everything. I think that's – I mean, these teams are nothing without their fan bases. Every sports franchise, from minor to major, everything revolves around the fans. It should, if it doesn't. And they're the ones that get hurt the most when these things happen, when a team leaves. Or you've got the situation in Oakland where the guy is doing it'd be like if I was just programming things just for myself. Like, just 24/7 on here. Ain't nobody going to listen. My dad ain't going to listen to that.
Well, perfect example are the Raiders, right? The yo-yo, they go to the L.A., they come back to Oakland, they go off to Las Vegas. I mean, it's just never-ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just you look at all that stuff, and, you want the fans to take a stand. I mean, the fans in Indianapolis just take a stand against your owner, but what's going to happen? Well, I'll just find someplace that wants me.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always good talking to you, sir. Thanks for the call.
All right, guys. You guys have a great week.
You too.
424-2600 for next Monday, because we got only a couple of minutes left here. And I want to make sure to get out of the way, let Joey take over the board here and get all set up. But let's get another call in. Let's sneak one in. Good morning, Gary. Be quick.
All right, just a quick note. Aaron Rodgers is waiting until Mercedes Lewis wants to show up to the Jets.
Oh, that's great. That was good, man. Thank you. Thank you for the call. I love Mercedes Lewis. I love players like that that stay in the league forever, and they just keep, you know, doing their thing.
Just can't get enough of those 8 and 9 players back on your squad.
Right, right. As we're wrapping up here, completely out of left field, but I got to throw this out there, and a big shout-out to Katie Ledecky, the American swimmer who shattered Michael Phelps' record over the weekend. She is arguably the greatest swimmer of all time, and I cannot wait for the summer games because we have people like this on our side, Randy. So just a quick shout-out to her. If you didn't get to see any of that, I encourage you to check it out. Her race was amazing, and I'm very excited about the Olympics coming up. So not coming up, but in the next couple of years, them on the way. So big shout-out to her for that. And big shout-out, to Archie Manning. Archie Manning, of course, of the Manning family, he's backing up in Texas right now. Manning is the nephew of Peyton and Eli and all. Well, he just did something that nobody's ever done before with NIL money. He has partnered with the trading card company Panini, and announced that their partnership is a first of its kind. All the proceeds from the sales and everything he makes will go to Central Texas nonprofit with help of St. David's Healthcare and St. David's Foundation. So every penny that kid makes is going to go from NIL money is going to go right into these nonprofits.
Cool.
It's the first time that's happened. And to be fair, he is, again, coming from football royalty. Right. You know, we're talking, you know, there ain't many bigger families in football than the Mannings. So to be fair, not exactly hurting for money, but that doesn't mean any less of what the greatness of him doing this. So everybody out there that wants to say how these kids shouldn't be getting paid or shouldn't be making any money, I would love for you to go to this nonprofit and tell them that they don't deserve that money. That they shouldn't have that money. Go ahead. you go ahead and tell them that, because he's not the last one that's going to do this.
Right.
It's a pretty cool, impressive thing to see.
Yeah, and the other thing is how many of them we don't hear about. We always so often we just hear the bad news.
Great
it's
point.
Good to hear good ones. And speaking of Texas, there goes Max Scherzer.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
I thought for a moment that our whole show on Playmakers was going to be about Scherzer, because I thought if anybody was, they got the no trade clause and you can go ahead and say, I don't want to be traded, but the guys always say they'll be traded. I thought if anybody in human history was ever going to say, no, I'm not going, it was Max Scherzer. I thought that had been so interesting. Well, what do you do then? Yeah. He's got to stay in New York, that uncomfortableness and all of that, but he's got a point to make and that's why he did it. And yeah, it just never.
And I think he's going to be 40 again next year.
Yeah,
his numbers
are
a little bit up this year. And how about Shohei?
Oh, my God. Shohei Ohtani is so much fun.
Yeah, and he's staying.
He is staying. And I don't blame them for doing that.
Right.
I don't know if I don't think I would have made that call.
That'd be
I think
tough.
I'd have taken what I could get and let the chips fall where they will. But I'm not a GM. Yeah. I run a show.
That'd be like getting rid of Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Randy, we appreciate you.
Great being here.
Appreciate all the calls out there. Thank you to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. We're going to get out of the way. Rafters doubleheader coming up against the rival Wausau Woodchucks. Join Joey and Kevin for Rafter Baseball tonight. We got your night covered. All you got is Rafter Baseball right here at WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.